Hello and welcome to this episode of the Venus and Vesta Evolutionary Astrology Podcast. So how was that Libra full moon for you? I spent it in a beautiful teepee in the countryside around a fire in a cacao ceremony with some new friends. Well, they weren't my friends before, they were afterwards. So it felt perfect for Libra. And also now that Venus has gone direct, we are in a period of APDM, all planets direct motion. So we are now in the flow. Although APDM can make all sorts of things progress swiftly, even things you don't want to progress, it's indiscriminate, although it does have the wind behind your back. So we are in an extremely fortunate time. And as I mentioned in the previous episode, from the 18th of April, we have Master Builder Saturn, the karmic time lord, conjunct the North Node, our destiny point in the sky. What can they possibly be developing for us in the future? This is a serious opening. And then from the 22nd of April, Venus joins these two. So it's Venus, Saturn and the North Node. And Venus adds her brand of heart-centered grace, deeper value and an understanding of the style. So it's a fabulous time for reigniting your projects, your dreams, your romances, or just starting from scratch for something. It is amazing to go forward by also perhaps losing the wounded part of you. In the Pisces way of recognizing that there is a loss, you can go through a loss. And also with the Pisces way of not attaching, being able to let something go. And whilst, because Pisces is often about letting go, releasing or dissolving attachments or learned programming, that you know the doorway in Pisces is open, the doorway to the future in Pisces now open, and it will be for the next 15 months. And it is, and it's going to be showing us things in imaginative ways that we had not yet even considered. So it's going to be super creative. And Saturn here right now is making it even more creative. So it's the creativity that you can make work, make happen. And also on top of this, with Venus, Saturn and the North Node together, in Pisces, it is incredibly soothing and healing. Let us not forget the healing balm of Pisces. And Gabor Mike Mate said, every human has a genuine, authentic self. The trauma is the disconnection from it, and the healing is the reconnection with it. And I really feel that the disconnection from our own trauma and our own selves can occur in Pisces, or can be emphasized when Pisces is dominant in the skies, and potentially highlight to us where we can feel too much or be sensitized to traumas of the past. And with Pisces, you can especially planets in Aquarius as well, you can then disassociate from them and abandon yourself, abandon who you are, just to release yourself from having to think about these things. Lose parts of ourselves in order to float off somewhere less painful and more lovely. Spiritual bypassing, trauma bypassing, all of the above. But with Saturn here, Sirius Saturn, sitting at the North Node, they're at 26 degrees Pisces, it's like he's restricting that abandonment and he's pulling us back from dangerous flights of despair or of disassociation. And he's standing at that doorway to the future. So Saturn is almost like the air stewardess. He's helping us to get it all together in a more conformed, structured way that we might not be managing by ourselves. Here is Saturn helping us. And Venus joining Saturn in the North Node at this degree, 26 degree on the 22nd, is elevating all of our worries, concerns about abandonment, unrequited examples, experiences we have stored inside for reasons, you know, whatever they are, so that we can have much more hope with Venus there. And we can use all of this trauma, sorrow, grief to lift us through this North Node doorway with more creativity, with more true value and understanding of our own capabilities. And of course, it's APDM. So yes, we can do it. And Venus has been moving from where she turned direct at 24 degrees on the 12th, 13th. And as she moved direct, it brings us the APDM so that we're going to be in the flow. And as I mentioned, the flow of APDM is indiscriminate of what is going to flow. It's like a current at sea. It's all going, it's all flowing forward. It's all flowing. And if you're doing something that doesn't really feel right, there will be more flow in that direction. And if you're tuned into something that brings you joy, then there'll be more flow in that direction too. And Jupiter works in this same way. You know, by saying yes to whatever you have got going on, Jupiter is a big yes. And then expanding that yes. So the flow of abundance here is putting everything under the microscope, with Jupiter, I mean, is putting everything under the microscope to make it much bigger. And therefore, you see what you have created. It's like one of those tests to see if you've got COVID. It expands everything there 40 times to see what is there. And then, of course, you're going to find it. Anyway, going back to talking about Venus, although this time around, Venus starts this APDM and therefore makes or gives, lends the APDM her flavour. And this makes it far more palatable, far more pleasing, gracious and love focused. This is also good for money. Venus is good for money. And so in this way, you can look at where 24 to 26 roughly Pisces is for you, because that's where she's stationed from and that's where she's meeting the North Node and Saturn. Look where that is in your chart. And also then look where your own Venus is situated and know that Venus here is going to be in the same flow. She's ruling this flow forward and it's going to bring back that Venusian flow to your own Venus. So, you know, the luck is in. The good times are here. However, I would say, be careful what you wish for, because right now the gods are definitely listening. And as much as Venus is waving her magic wand in Pisces for this APDM, it's actually Pluto that ends the APDM. And this is significant. Pluto will end the APDM on the 4th of May. So we have roughly 3 weeks with the Venusian wind behind our back. Pluto is going into retrograde at 3 degrees Aquarius on the 4th of May, and it's going to end our lovely Venusian flow. It's like the Dark Lord himself grabbing all our fruitful endeavours and tasks that we've been happily accomplishing and feeling into and seeing which ones are really aligned with our utter inner truth. What is really the honest and karmic path for us? Is this alignment and how can it change? So Pluto ending this lovely blossoming flow is like a winter coming in, a storm brewing ahead. But I don't want us to worry about it. If we are doing what we love, there is no need to worry. It's just going to get a bit more intense, even if you do love it. And we're going to be drawing into the deeper wisdom and realize perhaps the karmic path we had chosen, you know, realize things about it, realize why we've chosen it, and other doors may open, other realizations might drop, and we'll understand what this portends for us. There's going to be like a karmic realization. But I also think we can handle this. We're going to be able to handle that end of APDM, because just before the APDM, which, as I say, ends on the 4th of May, on the 30th of April, the lovely Venus leaves her area of exaltation in the soft and dreamy fields of Pisces and moves into the fire hazard building of Aries. So she makes an ingress to Aries. And this, of course, is a completely different kettle of fish. Venus in Aries is far more straightforward. Although I would say that Venus is in fall in Aries because she's in the sign opposite a sign which he rules, which in this case is Libra. And a planet in fall isn't operating in their best mode. And this is because Venus, the feminine, isn't as direct as your typical Aries. And Aries obviously is the masculine and ruled by the divine masculine Mars. So when the very feminine divine Venus is in Aries, she doesn't know why she can't ask for things and go and get them. Remember, Venus is the magnetizing things towards quality, the drawing in. And it is Mars, the ruler of Aries, that will go out and get them and go for them, like it's a very male thing to do, to go for a goal, chase a ball around a field and go for a goal. And to chase that goal, you know, it's much more inspiring. Whereas Venus is going to magnetize and draw in. And so when she's in Aries, it's like, why can't I go out and get those things? Why can't I have some goals too? But it's kind of an unnatural thing for her to do. But here she is in Aries, in four, but still very powerful. So when Pluto turns retrograde, he's going to be in a really fruity sextile to Venus, newly in Aries, because he's at the beginning of Aquarius and she's at the beginning of Aries from the 30th of April. So they're in a lovely little sextile together. And I think Pluto will help Venus bring about the intensity she needs. It's like she's been in quite, she's exalted in Pisces, of course, but it's very dreamy and soft. And here it's kind of a wake up to something much more startling. And with Pluto, together with Pluto, I think we're going to feel the karmic push, or the pull in this case, in, you know, intensity bearing down on what was previously just our dreams becoming manifest. Now we're actually going to make progress with our souls. This is a much more soul-led feeling now. And this also becomes like the soul food that we need. It just goes so like a few levels deeper. So it's not just a job and it's not just a game. Venus and Pluto in a sextile is kind of like that obsessive love in a good way. And so also you can think that as Venus rules money as well, and she's in Aries where she's kind of want to be a bit more forthright with Pluto. This is good. This is kind of the chutzpah coming out. And it's also, you know, this is time to lay your money on the lottery or agree to something that will make big changes. It will be fulfilling something far deeper than, say, the surface delights of Libra. And also for Venus in Aries, I say this is for all women, Venus in Aries, for any woman who's ever been called too much or not enough even. This is Venus in Aries, like, yeah, be too much, because you haven't met your tribe if you're too much. Pluto is now lending you the power to be utterly yourself and embrace your own drama. Do it. And I love that meme that says, there's a hot woman and she's saying, all they can take from me is notes. Cliff notes on how to be a goddess in the fire. It's very Venus in Aries. So I'm not dreading this connection with Pluto going retrograde. I think it's going to have bring depth to what Venus is doing in Aries. However, I am jumping ahead a little because this is Venus ingress Aries on the 30th of April and Pluto going retrograde on the 4th of May. But before that, we now have Mars in Leo from the 18th of April. So both Venus and Mars will be moving into fire sign. So if you felt like Mars retrograde, Mercury retrograde and Venus retrograde have all been holding you back, I certainly feel like they. And remember, they are all still in shadow until the 25th of April. Yeah, they're all in shadow at the same time. And Mercury is going to leave that shadow first on the 25th. So the personal planets have retrograded into watery worlds. All three of them have retrograded into water worlds. And they are now moving forward into a big bonfire of fire world. And the third of them will be from the 30th of April. And this is going to be like a big ignition of many things. So Mars is back in the fire sign in Leo since the 18th of April. And Mars back in Leo means truly back in the opposition with Pluto. Not just by degrees, in opposition by sign. And they will become exact on the 25th of April. So this feels like Mars is back in a fiery play and unsheathing the sword in front of the fire. as it confronts Pluto. You know the sound that the sword makes when it's unsheathed. We've all seen The Lord of the Rings or Game of Thrones. There's like a ringing sound as the sword becomes unsheathed. It's not just being uncovered, it's alive and ringing. So I feel like Mars is here now in Leo, like a don't mess with me place. I am here making a big statement. Are there any big statements to be made with this on the 25th of April? Mars in Leo is the sovereign soul self. So it is a good time to make your statement. It's not that ego self like with Aries. And maybe it is a bit of a performative self. Maybe there is drama there. And especially so with the opposition to Pluto around this 25th of April. And also, of course, then the square to the sun. You know, it is calling this forward as this because the sun moves into Taurus on the 20th of April. So this is the sun part of it is calling forward as a bone deep, raw, untied, dharmic, truthful self. You know, here I am physically. And what are we ready to express? What is that self ready to express that potentially you haven't, or you've been kind of wallowing or thinking or dreaming, you know, dealing with stuff, and now it's about to come out? Or that, like you say, the sword of the sovereign self is unsheathed and it's going to stand in front of Pluto. But really, Mars in Leo is dramatic, is guns blazing, proud and courageous, but not antagonistic. It's a lover, not a fighter. And likewise, Pluto in opposition in Aquarius is the dark depths of consciousness and working out philosophical ideas. So it's not the cutthroat that we're used to. So this standoff isn't, there's drama there, but it's not, and they're going to love sparring each other. They're going to do that dance that you do when you're fencing, if you are indeed fencing. But the fencing poises, it's so graceful. It's clever and graceful. It looks good, but the Pluto in Aquarius, Mars in Leo, they'd love that, but it's egalitarian. It's not a nasty attack. It's not going for the blood. So do remember that this Mars-Pluto opposition, it is feisty. It is kind of complicated. It's going to be complicated. There will be drama, but it's not to the death. Maybe to a satisfying ending, which they will both agree to. And this exact opposition is on the 25th of April, which is the week building up to the Taurus new moon. Yes, in a T-square to the opposition. Now, of course, it is Taurus season from the 20th of April. The sun leaves Aries and steps into those earthy fields of Taurus on the 20th of April. But of course, as soon as she enters this Taurus, she is in a square to Pluto, in a sine square as well as the degree square. So firstly, from the 18th of April, Mars is in opposition to Pluto. Mars in opposition to Pluto is the challenge. Then from the 20th of April, the sun squares Pluto and Mars. This is the first flare of antagonism, which wasn't really there before, if you see what I mean. They were against each other, but they weren't attacking. They were doing the fencing. But of course, you know, the sun in a square to Pluto, in a square also to Mars, provides us with this T-square. And the sun in Taurus has the task then of making the decision or a compromise here between the two oppositions, because of the sun is central to this T-square as soon as she moves into Taurus on the 20th, but getting more and more intense since as the exact square between Pluto and Mars becomes exact. The sun is like that in Taurus, quite literally banging their heads together to like, come on, let's sort this out. And as Taurus, you know, kind of says, going to get real, guys, get real. None of this performative stuff or this complicated avoidance stuff, the avoidance stuff of Aquarius and the drama of the Leo, you know, you're like, no, come on, get real. The Taurus sun is the reality check between these two kind of sparring angry giants going head to head. Taurus sun will bring in the groundedness to whatever tussle is going on, and a kind of a roll of eyeballs as well. Have you got any of those situations that like, kind of need someone to come in and go, come on? And, you know, by virtue of the Taurus Sun's grounded, sturdy, and extremely practical nature, as well as being in the middle of the T-square, can be the deciding factor here. There's going to be a decision or a conclusion. So have you got any planets or angles in the early few degrees of any signs? But obviously Leo, Taurus, Aquarius, and also the empty space of early Scorpio, which may bring you to a decision or a, let's move on from this situation. It's like almost too much. It's like the situation, it would be getting bigger and bigger. The swords are drawn, but nothing's going to shift. And I think with Taurus it here, the swords might be put back in the sheath. It's like, oh, okay, we're not going to, or we are going to, I don't know. A practical decision from Taurus could save the day. Because, you know, Taurus isn't like this mover and shaker. But when Taurus decides, the decision is final. So from on from this, then on the 30th, Venus is sextiling Pluto, as I mentioned, giving Pluto the balm of righteousness. Pluto and the power of the Aquarian people. And also, I guess, Venus will be sextiling Pluto, but she will be also trining Mars. And Pluto is the power of the Aquarian people. Are they going to feel with this Venus sextile just justified from what's just been happening? It's like Venus is going to be in her most outspoken role, kind of working with Pluto here. So we, the people, potentially are going to be satisfied by the result of the answer of this T-square sparring. I mean, it's not going to come immediately, because what is more, the sun that is going to be so courageous as to be the deciding factor between the two darker opposing factors that may be seen to be locked in their troubles, is joined by the moon. So we're going to have a new moon at 7 degrees Taurus on the 27th of April. It's going to be the 28th of April in Australia and New Zealand by then, because it's in the evening in the UK. And here you see how the sun in this T-square has gained power, not just by being with the moon to make it a new moon, which is obviously the power now. The power is shifting to what the moon is doing here in a new moon, but by also by being in a power position between the two dark players. So this is the Taurus new moon. Whoa, it's quite big. We've got some practical things to attend to with this. Taurus is always going to be more practical, and we've got work to do, and we have to apply ourselves too. So this Taurus new moon at the head of this T-square, it may be working with the outside pressure, the concerns of others, or the concern here to bringing it back to this idea of making a grounded and embodied working agreement. We've got to do the work here with the Taurus new moon. We have to chop wood, we have to carry water, it's always the same, and we have to carry whatever load uncomplaining. But we also, with Taurus new moon, we have to look after ourselves, ensure we have our physical needs met, our creature comforts around us, whilst the big opposition is fighting. We are going to stay in our lane, keeping our nose out of things, or clean. And perhaps that's what's needed for a while, to put our noses to the grind and get on with our own stuff. Because this new moon at 7 degrees Taurus may give whatever you have got going on around those degrees a bit more staying power. It might be the ingredients you need to continue your path. There's something so methodical and continuation. There's a longevity to Taurus continuing on your path, despite Rome burning. But also, hell, there might even be some funds released for your benefit here. There might be the bringing of money to sort this out with Taurus new moon. Taurus does bring wealth, and especially so within the Taurus new moon, since it's so fertile. So let's see what our governments can do for that wealth. They certainly have enough money for the wars, so surely there could be something here. And maybe that is the decider here. Where is this money being spent but on this war between these two giants? And maybe this is the practical reasoning of, we can't do this anymore. And I would love that to be the case in terms of the wars currently. So to conclude this, you can see that Pluto is involved in everything through the next week. Pluto is back in the game. And we still probably haven't got really the feeling of how Pluto is going to be in Aquarius. It's still so new. But I read this. If astrology isn't real, then explain why this is one of the most Pluto in Aquarius headlines of the year, which is the FTC is reportedly considering a legal suit that could force Meta to sell Instagram. The FTC are the Federal Trade Commission, who are tasked with protecting consumers. And this is like an antitrust suit, meaning they're trying to prevent Meta to become, or Meta is a monopoly, and that monopoly harming consumers and because there's no competition. So this legal suit, this is a reckoning with the tech monopolies. This is a reckoning with power structures like the ones in Capricorn. And this is a reckoning with digital overlords. I mean, this is incredible that, you know, this would actually come about in this day and age, because, you know, previously we were thinking they're all patting each other's back. But no, they're coming in to say this is too big a company. So this is what Pluto's going to be doing in Aquarius on full volume, up loud. It is the dismantling of empires built on algorithms, or empires built on the blood, sweat and tears of the people. And it's also the AI ethical wars. What are we doing with these AI? You know, how can we progress safely with AI? This is Pluto's consideration. And so I'm thanking the FTC for coming in here. And so, but potentially this could be the social media downfall, but also then the decentralization of influence. And that's Pluto in Aquarius. And it's the people, Aquarius, versus the platforms. This makes me chuckle quite a bit. I'm quite pleased that this is kind of a story that's been playing out. Because Pluto here is in Aquarius is not just the vibe, it's going to be the revolution. We are expecting revolution, and I'm totally here for it. And actually, because I'm actually blocked commercially for doing any, I did something bad on Instagram, or my business partner did it, or an agency that I used on my supplement business. So I'm banned on Instagram and Facebook from doing anything that promotes my business. Every time I try and say, it says boost your post or anything, if I did anything, it wouldn't allow me to do it because I'm in jail for that. So I would welcome a change of ownership if that were to happen. So yeah, Pluto in Aquarius, here we come. And you could say that also that the sending of that useless female celebrity crew, including Katy Perry, sending them up to space for 11-minute cosmic ride was Pluto in Aquarius. But I actually thought it was the biggest cringe fest ever. And I know I'm not alone in thinking that. Katy Perry even sang her upcoming tour set list to her fellow passengers in there. Oh my God. And people are coming out in shock and horror at this kind of, that this has happened. It's a kind of old school promotion where you've got a celebrity to just come along and cut the tape. And that's your stunt. Except now it isn't open. You know, this isn't opening, cutting the ribbon on opening a supermarket. We've gone stellar. But, you know, is that how useless women are? I mean, have I got something wrong? Please tell me if I've missed the point. Have women really fought so hard for equal rights to be taken seriously, to be then put in matching blue suits and go for an 11-minute fairground ride whilst we hear them scream and one of them promotes her business? If that is the peak of female empowerment, I'm just going to hang my head in embarrassment. And the fact that it was claimed to be a female empowerment, all-female crew, I feel like there was such a lack of reading the room, this could have been done in such a totally different way. It was just the fake celebrity tone of it all that really jarred. And the theme of the all-women crew, which I think is going to wake more people up to how much money these big companies make from selling to us, the people. I think it's going to incite more people to wake up, more people to revolution. That is Pluto in Aquarius. These quirky things that kind of don't ring true, like, and wake people up to what's happening. And this comes, that was happening on the same day that the highest court in the land here in the UK ruled that the definition of a female, which has long been in hot debate, our governments can't even define a woman, and they say it's not fair to say a woman has a cervix. Now, come on. But now, the High Court in the UK has ruled that the definition of a woman, as if it needed to be defined, is that of a biological woman. And the same for sex. Sex is biological sex. So this is Pluto in Aquarius, you know, having to redefine many things that we thought were set in stone, that all sort of state the obvious. And some of them will need to be, some of those things will need to evolve beyond their current standing. You know, society will want, will, Pluto will make sure that society is ready to evolve and will be evolving. So, and Pluto in Aquarius is going to show us the darker side of culture and the darker side of what society is really doing. And some of it won't be that impressive, like a female crew to the space and back in 11 minutes costing I don't know what. But, you know, what some people are doing is seriously impressive. Seriously. This is like the power of Pluto, the power in Aquarius, bringing out these the brilliance, as well as at the time we've got the North Node in Pisces at the same time, because Japanese researchers have developed an MRI machine capable of recording your dreams. That's amazing enough, but then reconstructing them for you to watch back whilst you're awake. I think that's incredible. That's absolutely mind-bogglingly incredible, so that you can have your dreams recorded. I mean, is that going to be an app on your phone? This is the power of Pluto in Aquarius, but it's also the North Node in Pisces at the same time. Just incredible. Can you imagine reviewing your dreams, especially some of the crazy ones? How would you review them? Does it play back to you in your mind, or does it play back them to you on a screen? And then it has to recreate them. I guess it's going to be in your mind or in your head or whatever. I'm going to leave you on this note. But also, right now, before I go, there is the Lyrid meteor shower, and it's going over our heads, and it peaks on the 22nd of April. There's going to be about 18 meteors an hour. And if you want to look up, they're going to be around the star Vega. And Vega rises about 10 p.m., so you'll see it from 10 to 12, I guess, you know, just before you go to bed. So it's worth seeing. It's the Lyrid meteor shower, and it has a very long tail of dusty debris of the comet Thatcher. And it's the oldest meteor shower we know of, apparently. And it was first mentioned in 687 BC. So that's 2,700 years old that it's been around. That's incredible. So do look out for that if you want to look and be inspired by the night sky and wish upon a lucky star. So I wish you well on one of those stars. And thank you for listening.